Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports, here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
You know, I have to for the team, you know. I care about them boys more, you know, than I do, you know, any fan, any person. You know, especially when we out there because it's just us. You know, I make a mistake. First guys over there to, you know, cheer me up and get me back right. You know, them boys believe in me. I just got to do better.
Melvin Gordon facing the music for three questions and then a question from our very own Andrew Mason. And he just stopped, sighed, and walked off without answering the question.
See you later.
So started well, finished badly, not a good look. Orlando Franklin in for Stink, who's off today. I've been a supporter of Melvin Gordon. Even I can't find any way to excuse, forgive what he did yesterday. You're a running back. You can't put the ball on the ground four times in four games. Under normal circumstances, I wouldn't be upset if they just said, you're gone.
Yeah,
we're cutting you. But Melvin is shaping up to be the guy. This is what's amazing with how things are playing out right now. Because of the injury to Javonte Williams, and early reports are not good. He's going to get an MRI today, but the early fears are that he could be out a significant amount of time. And the fact that you have a very quick turnaround. They play Thursday night. Oh, forget about firing Melvin Gordon. He's probably going to be the man on Thursday.
Not probably, Mike. He is going to be the man. When you look at this roster, when you look at, you know, the alternative, if Javonte Williams can't go, well, we got a heavy dose of Mike Boone. Mike Boone played the most amount of snaps that he's ever played all season on this offense yesterday, and yet it still did not look good. Mike Boone, 19 snaps. Melvin Gordon only had 10 snaps yesterday. Mike Boone played 19 for this football team, and we saw the drops in the checkdown game. We saw the big fourth down drop. And what I've also seen was the confusion, which absolutely blows my mind, because Mike Boone has always been looked at as a third down back, so you would think he'd be able to pick up the blitz. And he's just been confused. So Melvin Gordon's going to be the Broncos' man come Thursday, short week. You just can't get anybody else in here right now.
Nope, guys get nine lies. Let's see what he does with this next one. Next in four down.
Second down.
Yeah, we knew when we went into this game, we were going to have to knock that run out early. And they do have a very good run game. I give them so much credit. They came out and had a really good plan. They stuck with it throughout the entire game. And, you know, when you run for the over 200 yards, it's going to be detrimental. I mean, they had a lot of plays. I thought they had a good plan. They didn't want to get into long down and distance for passing situations so we could rush the passer. And they tried to slow the whole pace down. And so I thought it was a really good plan by them.
Okay, that annoys me right there. That whole soundbite really annoys me. They came out with a plan. They stuck with the plan. I give them credit for sticking with and executing it. Why didn't you adjust to their plan? If you knew that was the plan, why didn't you have a plan for that plan? And then once you found out that the first plan wasn't working, come up with a different plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Annoying.
Oh, man, Mike, it sounds like you're asking him to coach.
Yes.
Like coach in the National Football
Adjustments.
League, right? What's so frustrating, right? This Broncos team, a couple days before you play Indianapolis on a short week where you're not going to be able to make a lot of corrections this week because it's just that you don't have the time. So let's dive right into Indy. Let's try to figure it out. And next week on Friday, we'll start making corrections. You opened up a can of worms. Las Vegas Raiders just went and said, hey, we can run the ball down your throats. You don't understand where you're supposed to fit up in the run game. You don't understand how to sit there and tackle and deliver body blows after body blows. And everybody that touched the ball for the Las Vegas Raiders yesterday averaged over 4 yards, averaged at least 4 yards a carry. Devontae Adams, 1 carry, 4 yards. Everybody else for the Raiders, well over 4 yards a carry. And that's not good. Everybody's watching.
Indianapolis, Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, you know, we haven't been getting it going, but this recipe right here, we can mimic this recipe. And we just saw a team that ran the ball 38 yep. times against this defense.
And Taylor's struggling. Taylor's off to a slow start this year, but talk about how he might have a get-right game. He might be looking at this as a get-right game, and I wouldn't blame him and the Colts. Next and four down.
Third down.
You know, the reality about playing this game at the highest level, whether if it's football, basketball, golf, baseball, don't matter what it is, there's going to be some mistakes along the way. And the best ones, they respond. And I believe in Melvin Gordon responding, you know, and I know he's going to. And he's a guy that's just, he works his butt off every day.
Okay, so
what else was he supposed to say?
So I get it. If the Pitchfork and Lantern crowd is not going to get their wish and get Melvin Gordon fired this week because of the way the situation is playing out right now, is there something to the idea that if he goes along throughout this entire short week, knowing he's the guy and knowing he's going to be fed early and often, does that make him a better running back? Does that make him less prone to turning the ball over?
I truly believe so, yes.
Okay.
I was
just going for the silver lining wherever I could find it, but okay, you're advocating for that.
I'm not advocating for that. I'm not sitting here pounding on the table and say, oh my goodness, Melvin Gordon needs to be the guy.
But with the way the situation is, you have no other choice, will it make him more trustworthy?
I think he will be a lot more conscious of the football this Thursday, short week, having lost the football against the Las Vegas Raiders, then return it for a touchdown. The fact that he knows that I'm probably going to get majority of the carries, that he's not pressing as hard. He's not out there saying, I have to make a play. I have to show him that I am the guy, because his approach has been, I got to fight for yards. And, you know, James Merrillat talked about 70 plus minutes before he got his first carry in that game. And then he goes out there and he's fighting and he's turning the legs. But you have to know when to go down. And you have to know when you see all those other jersey colors, that's when you're holding on to that football with both hands. And it doesn't matter what else happens. It doesn't matter if they pick you up off the ground. You're holding on to that football with both hands and squeezing it as tight as possible. So I do believe it'll be a better result this week, because he knows that he's probably going to get at least 20 carries this week against Indianapolis.
Hey, Broncos country, how do you feel about Melvin Gordon getting 20 times to carry the football and handle the football?
We are screwed.
Real quick, just the story with Indy, because I'm getting a lot of texts. Well, Jonathan Taylor has an ankle injury. He probably won't even play. He was quoted last night after the game, because he did take a hit. He said, quote, I'm not sure yet about playing this week. It's what, like an hour after the game? We'll see how it goes tomorrow morning. Tough guy, short week, though. But, hey, the Colts are at a bit of a crossroads, too. You got two teams. Two teams who are really struggling to find their identity and find their way. And, hey, the Broncos played a desperate team yesterday. I'm hoping the Broncos feel desperate this week.
Yeah.
Because the Colts probably will as well. Two teams that are scuffling right now.
Yeah, with Jonathan Taylor, I don't anticipate him playing.
You don't anticipate him playing. Okay, well, then that's a huge break.
Yeah. If you were playing in Indianapolis, I would think that he would play.
How's this for irony of irony, O? You know who's on the Indy practice squad?
Philip Lindsay.
So for people saying sign Philip Lindsay off the practice squad, Philip Lindsay might be suiting up for the Colts this week.
Might get an opportunity against this Broncos defense. See if Philip Lindsay could make it happen.
All right. That is a four down territory. We're getting your reaction to the game. It's a Bronco reaction Monday. Part of this team is kind of skating with all the attention directed towards Melvin Gordon. There's a part of this team that's getting off easy. Not anymore. We call him out next.
It It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Big O sitting in for us, Stink, who's doing some national TV work. Next couple days for Fox Sports. Big O sitting in, and while Broncos country is just pitchforks and lanterns are out for Melvin Gordon these days, and I get it. I've been somebody that's defended Melvin Gordon, and it's hard to defend him after what happened yesterday.
Mm.
But let's not let another part of this football team skate, because the defense was awful yesterday. Right. Awful. And I raised this question on Friday, and it was kind of dismissed. Stink kind of dismissed it, but I said, can we really trust this defense? Has this defense, through three games, done enough to earn our complete trust? Because while the numbers are really good, they went up against Geno Smith. Yeah, although after what Geno did yesterday, maybe we have to look at that differently. But Davis Mills and Jimmy Garoppolo, who was throwing to interns this summer. Yesterday they played a struggling offense, but a real quarterback with a real running back. And whatever you may think of Josh McDaniels, a guy who maybe the jury's still out as to whether or not he's going to be a good head coach, but nobody denies his ability. He's a very, very bright offensive guy. So when faced with really their first real test against a decent offense, this defense failed.
Yeah. This defense got pushed around. They were bullied out there. To come out of a game playing against this Las Vegas team that has had seven different combinations in 4 weeks at the offensive line position, that has had a revolving door at the center, right guard, right tackle position, to come out with two sacks, that's ridiculous. Bradley Chubb, Randy Gregory, where were you guys yesterday? You know, opportunities were out there to make big plays, did not make them. These inside linebackers. Josh McDaniels said, the heck with that. Oh, here we go. You guys want to put Josie Jewell, the closest player to Devontae Adams? Devontae Adams, go get an explosive. Okay, now next play, we're going to come back, and we're going to get Max Hollins on an explosive with Jonas Griffith on there. When you get these offensive coordinators to understand the weaknesses and say, the heck with what I may want to do as a play caller, I have to play to my strengths of my football team, but also now expose the weakness of the Denver Broncos, and that's the inside linebackers in the run game. And they just got the ball. They went straight forward. They went old school power football, put a fullback out there and said, did we want it more than you?
Yep.
And Bronco players were lost. They didn't fill the gaps the right way. I watched guys run straight by people, not trying to make tackles, and just literally said, hey, here you go. You can run as long as you want to.
Here are some of the numbers. And yeah, they gave up close to 400 yards of total offense. But these are the numbers, and this is one statistic leads to another. So the Raiders were 7-14 on third down. They had 25 first downs in this game. 25 first downs. That's above average. They ran 74 plays. 74 plays. And the thing about the defense is that for all the issues, and the Melvin Gordon fumble and all of that, the Broncos go down, score a touchdown to make it 25-23. They've got momentum. And now you're asking this defense, make a stop. Come up with a stop. Get your team the football back, and you might be able to steal this one. And instead, right after that touchdown that makes it 25-23, they allow the Raiders to go 75 yards, 58 of the 75 yards gained on the ground, running the football.
Yeah, that third and five, Derek Carr scrambles, gets 10.
That's a run.
Yep.
And in Fangio-esque style, this defense unable to close and get the ball back.
Yeah.
And, until the first three games, distant memory. Until proven otherwise, this defense is right back to square one, trying to prove that they could be a top 10 defense.
Now, this defense, we even though this defense has played really good, Ezra Everett has done a heck of a job with how he's deployed the personnel. And now when you've done it a few times, teams have answers. You know, you went to that hybrid package and said, hey, you know, Baron Browning and Bradley Chubb, you guys are going to blitz from the linebacker level. Well, the Raiders were ready for that. because that's what they have seen you get to. And when you're looking at just this defense being out there and being asked, hey, go make a stop, go make a stop. I truly believe the defense let down for a lot of reasons, but I also believe that the offense played a part in that when you're playing well over 70 snaps.
Hey, what are you going to do? As Nathaniel Hackett said after the game, you know, they had a plan. They had a plan.
When we went into this game, we were going to have to knock that run out early. And they do have a very good run game. I give them so much credit. They came out and had a really good plan. They stuck with it throughout the entire game. And, you know, when you run for the over 200 yards, it's going to be detrimental. I mean, they had a lot of plays. I thought they had a good plan. They didn't want to get into long down and distance for passing situations so we could rush the passer. And they tried to slow the whole pace down. And so I thought it was a really good plan by them.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Right. Great hearing your NFL coach say, yeah, they came out with a plan and we knew the plan, and we never adjusted to the plan. But, hey, give them credit, because they stuck with their plan. Okay, coming up, we will get to what's trending. We'll go around the division. Boy, did Kansas City make a statement. And what can we expect with Indy coming in here? What kind of are we looking in the mirror right now when we look at the Colts? What's trending coming up? But first, yes, they continue to play out the string. How'd the Rockies fare over the weekend? Here's Spilly to fill us in.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
First and 10, Melvin Gordon. Oh, he fumbled again! He fumbled again! Robertson's got it! And he's got an entourage by midfield. Got it back by Hobbs. And there he goes! He's got six!
Oh, Kevin Harlan with the call, but Orlando Franklin staying in for Stink, who's on today. But think about that. He fumbles again. Meaning, Kevin Harlan, in his preparation for this game, understood Melvin Gordon's got a fumbling problem. And that's now four fumbles in four games. Even I, who have been a defender of Melvin Gordon, you can't defend this. It's inexcusable. And people were calling for him to be fired and cut. But talk about nine lives because of the Javonte Williams injury, which is expected to be serious. MRI coming up today. We'll hold our breath, but I would not, even in a best case scenario, expect him to play on Thursday.
That's a tough guy that just went down and got carted off when he was on the sideline.
Mike Boone, limited in what he can do. It's a short week. Hey, not only is Melvin Gordon not going to be fired like a lot of you want, he's probably going to be the guy on Thursday.
Yeah. If I'm Hackett, I think you have to send a strong statement to Broncos country. I think you have to send a strong statement to this locker room. And I know that Melvin Gordon probably is going to be the guy, but I need to take the Alberto approach. Alberto played one snap yesterday in this football game. So Nathaniel Hackett, when it comes to Melvin Gordon, hey, your play. Because we don't have anybody else, but you're only playing in pass down situations. I don't care. It's a short week. We haven't showed this. So we're only going to put you out there to pick up blitzes and be a check down wide receiver. And Mike Boone, you're going to get 20 carries. We're going to see what happens with you, and we're going to make sure that we don't throw you the football out of the backfield. The Broncos are very limited right now in what they could do offensively because this person does this well, but not great.
Well,
that person does this well, but not great.
If you feel like you have no choice but to go back to Melvin Gordon on Thursday, Nathaniel Hackett starting today has to come out and pump this guy's tires. Needs to pump him up and needs
to. I think you gotta do that regardless.
And needs to not so much pump his tires up, but he needs to pump up the fans' tires and understand, look, this is a situation. This is our guy on Thursday. Get behind him if you can.
Get behind him, and it's going to be a lot of...
It's going to be hard. Yeah, right. He's going to be booed as soon as he touches the ball.
He's going to be booed. Mike is going to be... Well, I watched the film, and, you know, Melvin was just running really, really hard, and you know, anybody could have fumbled, right. Would have had that fumble. It's going to be a lot of that. You're going to have to try to spin it. But if you're Broncos country, who else do you think is going to be able to go out there and carry this workload? Indianapolis is a good football team defensively. I know they haven't won a lot of football games. They are a really good team defensively.
You get through Thursday, and then after that, George Payton can do a lot of different things because you're really looking at a bye week because you go from playing on this Thursday to the following Monday. So that's almost a regular bye week, and that's an opportunity for George Payton to do a lot at the running back position. But this week, you're limited.
You can bring somebody in, though.
This week, well, or you can bring somebody in for the practice
squad. You bring somebody in, put him on practice squad, start learning the terminology, but he's not playing Thursday.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Tannehill, looking, throwing, completing, scoring. Chig Okonkwo, touchdown, Titan!
So here comes Indy, and Indy's got issues of their own. Jonathan Taylor, he banged his ankle up yesterday. Said, quote, after the game about the idea of playing this Thursday, I'm not sure yet. It's what, like an hour after the game? We'll see how it goes tomorrow morning. But it's not like he's been lighting it up this year. Matt Ryan had big numbers yesterday, but it was like a, you know, old Kyle Orton type game. You know, 27 of 37 for 356 yards, two touchdowns, and your team scored 17 points. Yeah. So, you know, for all the issues that the Broncos have with a new quarterback and trying to get things going, it's like looking in a mirror this week going up against the Colts.
Yeah, and if you're Indianapolis, you don't want to put Jonathan Taylor out there too soon. He plays the running back position. He has to be able to absorb those body blows. Having an ankle injury, you're not able to cut as good as you would be. You're not as explosive as you normally are. And, you know, Denver in Colorado, they're 2-0, right? At Empower Field, and this defense, you know, plays better in front of this crowd. I don't see a scenario where Jonathan Taylor is going to be active for Indianapolis having to fly out here as well. The possibility of inflammation settling in on that flight out here also.
But, yeah, he's struggling. After the first game of the season in which he went for 161 against Houston, since then he's gone for 54, 71, and 42, and now he's battling a high ankle sprain.
From the two, Mahomes escaping. On the move, Mahomes stops, spins, flips it forward for the touchdown to Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, that Patrick Mahomes guy is still pretty good. And as much as we talked about this division being a division in which, hey, any one of the four teams now could win the AFC West, that was fun off-season talk, but let's be clear. The division still goes through Kansas City, and boy, did they make a statement last night. Tampa, and Tom Brady, they're not accustomed to losing two in a row. Brady hardly ever loses two in a row. Well, they have now because Kansas City went in and put 41 up on them.
Yeah, KC was out to play. They said, hey, what happened last week against Indianapolis and, you know, the Mahomes and Bieniemy, the little back and forth communication or altercation, whatever the heck you want to call it. Yeah, that's the thing in the past. And we're firing on all cylinders and the whole world is watching, right? It's that coming out party. Kansas City is still a very, very good football team. I get it. They missed Tyreek Hill. Well, anybody in the National Football League would miss Tyreek Hill. Do you see the numbers that he's putting up out there with Tua and Mike McDaniels? And oh, by the way, Teddy Checkdown finds Tyreek Hill for a bomb down the field for 40 plus, right? So anybody would miss Tyreek Hill, but Kansas City is definitely, after this week, still at the top of this division looking down at everybody.
How about
else?
This for a stat line? Apparently, Tom Brady still has enough left in that arm. 39 of 52. For 385 yards, the Tampa Bay run game, listen to this one, former offensive lineman Orlando Franklin, 6 carries for 3 yards. Mm. They average 0.5 yards per carry. Mm.
And they just had to get away from it.
Well, yeah, boy, they went all the way away from it.
Herbert, play action, rolling to the right, throwing to Eckler. He's got a lane, 10, 5, to the end zone, hits the pylon, touchdown, Chargers!
So, Charger Radio, remember we looked at the Texan game as a get-right game. Instead, it became the countdown game with the crowd chanting down the play clock. The Chargers used Houston for what they were intended for, a get-right game, as the Chargers win that game 34-24. Although, I'll tell you what, Texans 0-3-1 might be the best 0-3-1 football team I've ever seen. They battle.
Yeah, they're in it.
Now, when their coach comes out afterwards and says, hey, we battled hard, Yeah, you give him some credit for that one.
And that fan base could get behind it, right? Because it's Davis Mills, and we're trying to figure things out, and they understood the situation. The big problem here in Bronco country is all offseason, when you came in and you went and got Nathaniel Hackett and this coaching staff, said, oh, man, this thing is going to be, you know, we're going to be lighting this thing up. We're going to be throwing the ball all up and down the football field. We're going to run the football, and now we're going to have play action coming off of that, and we're going to score a lot of points. And then they went and got Russell Wilson, and they doubled down on what you were thinking. And then they paid Russell Wilson, and they tripled down on it. And Bronco country thought that we were going to get something mimicking the 2013 season and scoring a lot of points. But what we're really getting is Tebow Mania 2.0.
Okay, that is what is trending. Our tour around the AFC West and looking ahead to what is going to be a very short, quick turnaround. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's exactly what the Broncos need after yesterday is just get back out there on Thursday and tee it up again. Coming up, the good, the bad, the ugly from yesterday. That's next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
Think off today, doing some network TV for Fox Sports. Next couple of days, Big O sitting in. It'll be big morning for you. You got the Players Club coming up here at 9 o'clock, so you're doing extra duty today. I appreciate it very much. As we get a lot of reaction to what went down yesterday, most of the anger is directed at Melvin Gordon. I understand for everyone who's coming after me, hey, what do you have to say about your guy? There's nothing to say. There's nothing to say. At some point, what all that matters is the performance, and four fumbles in four games is just flat out inexcusable. But for everybody who's like, get rid of him, and it was all over social media yesterday, this should be the last time Melvin Gordon ever carries the ball for the Denver Broncos, and he needs to be cut, and they need to make a state. Well, it's a short week, and under normal circumstances, if Javonte Williams doesn't get hurt, and if it's a game that doesn't get played until next Sunday, you might get your wish. But with Javonte Williams likely being out for a significant amount of time, MRI coming up later today, and it being such a short week, Melvin Gordon's going to play on Thursday.
Yeah.
He's going to be in uniform. He might even be the guy.
Yeah. And you got to start looking at all different aspects that play with it. One, Melvin Gordon was on the Broncos roster week one, so his salary is guaranteed this year. If you cut Melvin Gordon, now other teams are going to look at him and say, okay, yeah, let's go get him. Well, I know the Broncos aren't lighting it up offensively, but he's a guy that could walk in and we could have a conversation with him and now know what these guys are trying to do at the line of scrimmage, know their terminology, and now if you're the Broncos offense, you're taking even a bigger step backwards with allowing a guy like that to be out there on the streets while you're paying him paychecks week in, week out, allow him to double dip, get paid by the Broncos, get paid by a new team. And oh, by the way, he knows all your terminology, all your hand signals, and he's going to be able to help out that football team. The correct way to handle this Melvin Gordon situation is, hey, you know what? You're not going to get any more carries right now. This week, we're going to get by. It's going to be more of a passing game this week for Russell Wilson. We're going to run the heck out of Mike Boone and Melvin Gordon. Yes, you are going to play, but you're going to play strictly in the passing game. You know, we'll get a couple screens to you. We will, you know, have you check down. If you're the open guy, we'll throw you to football, but we're not going to turn around and continue to hand you to football and allow you to be a running back. And hey, you know what? We're going to give you carry after carry.
But isn't that the point of having Melvin Gordon? Isn't that the appeal of Melvin Gordon? Isn't that if you're going to make... Right, because with Melvin Gordon, when he's out there, in theory, there's not a tell because he could run the football. He's good in the passing game. You can trust him in the blitz pickup game. There's a reason why I have defended Melvin Gordon, and part of the reason is don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. And Melvin Gordon, after 2 years here, he was a free agent, yet they brought him back. And yet, even after he fumbled in the San Francisco game, it's first and goal at the five, the most pivotal moment of the game. Who's the guy they turn to? So the coaches clearly trust him.
But you have to do something in order for it to become a habit.
Right.
You have never used Melvin Gordon in that light. The light that I'm talking about, saying, hey, you know what? You're going out there for the passing game. Mm-hmm. You've never used them in that way. So Indianapolis, short week, he still poses the threat of running the football while he's out there, even though he just had the fumble, because that's what he's done his whole entire career, where he's had fumbles. He's been labeled a guy to put the ball on the ground, but yet whether he was with the Chargers or the Broncos, we still feed him the rock and let him run the football. So,
but Indy's not stupid. They're going to know that that the only reason Melvin Gordon's even playing this week is because of the circumstances that I just laid out. And couldn't they see this coming a mile away, that they don't want to use him? And so the only reason they're going to use him is in the passing game, because they don't trust him to run the football.
I think if you're out there on first and 10 and Melvin Gordon's in the backfield, you break the huddle, that's 50% run chance, 50% pass chance. I don't think, Indy, that you tell anything.
No.
Now, after this game, you come out after this game and he's out there 80% of the times and you're throwing the ball. Yes, you know, week six against the L.A. Chargers, they're probably thinking that. But you'll still have, what, nine, 10 days to now get somebody else in here at that point and get somebody else those reps. So I don't think Indy catches on to something like that on a short week of football, especially when the history suggests something different when it comes to Melvin Gordon.
The play of the offense.
And let me tell you this. Let me also put this. It's not like I want this to happen. I'm a big believer that when a person does something wrong, they should get benched. Like, I love what the Broncos did with Albert O. Oh, okay, 22 snaps against San Francisco, and every snap was a pass, and you went out there, you caught one pass for 12 yards. So what happens the following week? And you play one snap on offense, because now we have told the whole league that when you're out there, we're throwing the football and you're not willing to get physical and you're not willing to be a willing participant in the run game. So you're hanging out on the sideline. You're playing special teams. You only get one snap on offense. I'm a big fan of that. That's how the National Football League should be. But how the Broncos have constructed this football team, it lacks depth. It lacks when you have depth, guys have to be extra accountable to you, because guys are thinking about the fact that, man, if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, I'm getting benched.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2014 here, Mike, my first year at the left guard position, we played against the St. Louis Rams in St. Louis, the last year of St. Louis. We ran the ball 9 times that game. Lost. We threw the ball over 50 times. Our guy that sits in this seat that's out doing Mark Schiller's things out there for these networks sat there and bashed our offensive line. Said, hey, they're not getting it done. We only ran the ball 9 times. I don't know how we're not getting it done. But at the same time, what happened that Tuesday? Richie Incognito was working out for the Denver Broncos. What position does Richie Incognito play? Left guard, my position. So now, are you guys down on me? Oh, you guys are down on me? Let me show you why you guys can't be down on me. And then the following week, what happens? We run for almost 200 against the Miami Dolphins. So that week, as soon as Stink addresses the media and down on offensive line, our whole offensive line to a man stood up and did a press conference in that locker room and put it on us, because national media was putting it on us, even though we only ran the ball 9 times and our offensive coordinator admitted that he forgot to run the ball. We said we have to be accountable to this team. And we knew it wasn't our fault. So I look at situations like that, where when you have a guy like Melvin Gordon, I am a fan of holding guys accountable. And if you don't want to do it the right way, you're going to be sitting there. You might be in street clothes. But unfortunately, how they have done this offseason, how Nathaniel Hackett, the big bear hugs and, hey, the smiling and all things like that, there is no accountability at the top. There is no accountability on this football team. I think they have made some steps in the right direction with Albert O, but you have to continue to do that. You got to rule with an iron fist and let these guys know that mediocrity is not acceptable here.
Well, I think Melvin Gordon's smart enough to know that under normal circumstances, he's probably out of a job right now.
Yes.
But it's only because of the unique confluence of events here with the Javonte Williams and the short week that he may have one last chance. So from the accountability standpoint, this can't be a guy that's walking around this week, short week, thinking, oh, okay, no big deal. I'm not going to be held accountable. I'm good. No, he has to know that this is it. No. This is it.
You put a big target, a big bullseye on your back. Everybody in the National Football League in this unique fraternity is looking at 25 and saying, he is going to put the ball on the ground. Like when Frank Wright walks in and he's talking to his team tomorrow morning, that's what all they're saying. 25 is going to be the guy and he's going to put the ball on the ground. So whenever he gets the football, you got to punch at it. You got to rip at it. He's fighting for extra yards. Hold them up. It becomes, don't tackle this guy. No, hold them up. Hold them up and let the troops come and try to get the football from him.
This may be a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I've asked plenty of dumb questions over the years, but why does a guy have fumbling problems? He's an NFL running back. He's been in the league for a long time. Now, fumbles have been an issue for him his entire career, but right now it's an epidemic. Mm. Why? Why do guys fumble the football?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what he has told us. And it's been that way from his rookie year. When he is in the game, he's always had to kind of battle for carries. And there's always been other people where offensive coordinators have liked running backs in other situations. Melvin Gordon, in his mind, believes that no matter what, whenever the offense is out there, it doesn't matter the situation, that he should be out there on the field and be that running back one. Doesn't even matter. If it's 3rd and 30, he believes that he should be there. So when he's not there, it's goes to, I got to make a play in order to stay out there, to prove to this coaching staff that I deserve to, I'm the hot hand or I'm the bell cow, that I should continue to stay out there. And now you get a little sloppy, a little careless with the football because it's all about you and making a play because you want to stay out there. And you hurt the football team because of it.
So it was his first carry of the game, and it occurred with 3:15 left in the second quarter. So that makes your point right there.
Yeah.
It was his first carry of the game, and it was almost halftime.
Not used to that.
I felt like I got to make a play. I got to make an impression.
I watched Melvin Gordon his rookie year come in when we had Danny Woodhead, and we force-fed it. We said, hey, the heck with it. There was plays that we knew that Woodhead was the better back in this situation. He should be out there, but they tried to make the decision right as far as why you take a running back in the first round, right? Melvin Gordon came out a year when Todd Gurley came out where a lot of running backs weren't being drafted in the first round. You could go find a back in the 3rd or 4th to kind of do exactly what Melvin was doing. But the Chargers decided that they were going to force feed it and take away reps from a guy like Danny Woodhead. And when he saw that his rookie year, and he saw, like, you know, having fumble issues and still becoming a team captain going to play against Green Bay, the keys to the city was handed to him. And he has just developed a mind frame where that's what it should be because that's what it's always been for him. And when he gets out there, it's now I got to fight. I got to scratch and claw because they're down on me or they're not going to give me as much carries as I deserve. And now you see him trying to fight for those extra yards and giving the football up to the other team.
You got a lot of folks saying, bring back Phillip Lindsay. Sign him off the Colts practice squad. What's the NFL's view of Phillip Lindsay? Why is a guy who's rushed for 1,000 yards twice in his career, why is he now an NFL running back journeyman?
Yeah.
He's bounced around. He was with Miami. He was with Houston. Couldn't stick either place. He's with Indy right now. The ironic thing is if Jonathan Taylor can't go this week, who knows? Maybe Phillip Lindsay gets elevated off the Colts practice squad and is active on Thursday night. But what, for everybody who loves the hometown kid, why can't he stick in the NFL right now?
Phillip Lindsay understands exactly who he is. He's a very quick back, and when he gets the football, he's not going to be able to go in between the tackles 15 times a game. So you tend to try to call it outside for him. And what happens when you call outside zone plays for Phillip Lindsay, he lacks the patience. Phillip Lindsay lacks the patience that's required to be in this system. Now, I could also make an argument that the Broncos don't have a system, that they don't have an identity offensively. But when you just look at traditionally the outside zone scheme, the running back has having to be able to press and give the threat of going outside and now read it one gap at a time and put the foot down and get north and south and get upfield. And now when you pass the defensive line, that's when you make your cut and that's when you get the explosive plays. What I saw with Phillip Lindsay in the years that he was here with the Broncos was a guy that would outrun his blocking at times where it's, oh, they just gave me the ball. Run all the way to the edge as fast as possible, and now I'm going to take it outside, where he doesn't allow the blocks to develop in front of him, and that's why he's become a journeyman, because a lot of teams are running this scheme where you have to press it and really read it and allow your offensive line and tight ends to kind of set the edge and keep guys on the line of scrimmage.
I want to revisit this part of the conversation right after we get to the front page.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.